And we're back.
We are back.
We're back.
Yes.
Welcome back to another episode of Engineers Talk. My name is Mel Pardo, and my co-host is Jen Vang. It's been a while, and we know it, but we're going to tell you why we had to step away from the podcast for a few months. We want to share with you what has been happening in our lives. So I'll go first. I got a new job last year, end of last year, and just transitioning from one engineering company to another was a lot of work. That aside, I'm also working on my master's, and so that's a little crazy, even though I'm just taking one class. I should probably make an episode about that. But anyways, working on my master's, getting a new job, and just life in general. But anyways, we're back. I'm back. We're so excited to continue to share with you why we love engineering and why we might hate us sometimes. Only sometimes, though. Anyways, so Jen now is going to tell you what she has been up to.
Yeah, so I also changed job. I stopped working in my previous place in the middle of March and then started my new job in the beginning of April. And then I also moved to a new city in the beginning of May. So it was just kind of like constant, nonstop job searching plus switching jobs, getting used to the new company, and then getting settled in. And finally, after like 2 months, I've been living in this new place for 2 months now, or in Los Angeles. I was living in San Jose previously. I finally settled down. I have my bed. I have my couch. My kitchen doesn't look empty anymore. I was using paper plates because I had no plates.
Oh my gosh.
But now, you know, everything is coming together and work is also getting to a good rhythm as well. It's a lot of learning. It's very fun. And I still feel like a noob, but I don't feel like a scatterbrain trying to figure out everything on the spot anymore. It's slowly getting there where I'm like, I know where to find stuff. And so, yeah, we are back.
Okay. So I guess with that, we are so sorry. I know we promised a lot of good episodes, but we're back. So today we decided to just do an episode, Jen and I, just the two of us, about why younger generations, Gen Zs and millennials, tend to change jobs more often than previous generations. And we actually found a lot of good articles on this topic. And personally, I agreed and disagree with some points that people were making online. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to address that. What if we just start with, in general, why do we think that millennials and Gen Zs tend to change jobs so quickly? At least based on what I've seen, our generation and Gen Zs, we change jobs, you know, sometimes even a year after or 2 years, maybe. What do you think, Jen?
Can I first give like a statistic just to let the audience know how big of a wave of people changing job are?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Okay. So from the CNBC article, more than half of the U.S. workers, which is 61%, are considering leaving job in 2023. And just last November, about 4.2 million people voluntarily left their jobs, which is a huge amount of people. Yeah. It's like crazy. And then a new report from LinkedIn for 2023 found that a really high percentage of Gen Z, which defined in LinkedIn as 18 to 25, and millennials ages 26 to 41, are planning to call it quits, you know, like job hopping or just changing industry in total. And so in last December, LinkedIn and CensusWide surveyed more than 2,000 U.S. workers about their professional plans. And of those 2,000 people, 72% of the Gen Zs and 66% of the millennials said that they were okay with changing their career within the next 12 months. Compared to, you know, Gen X and the baby boomers, which is like under 50% to 30%, which is like, it just kind of shows like that huge demographic cultural age shift of how we younger generations are viewing jobs versus the older generations.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to put that because I'm like, when I read that in the article, I was like, I knew it was happening, but I didn't know it was this large of a scale across the US.
Yeah, I think, okay, there's so many ways we can break this down.
Yeah.
I would say that I would like to start by saying, nowadays, we just have more options. Let's just say that that's a fact. We have more options. We have the internet. We have all these side jobs, all these new creative jobs you can do comfortably from your home, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe looking for jobs and having multiple jobs is just easier nowadays than it was before, right?
Yeah.
And second thing that I would like to say is I feel that Gen Zs, just because they grew up in this environment where they're always, you know, on the internet and they just know how to use all the apps. I'm still very behind on that. I don't even know. But they just know how to find all these crazy jobs and they're very profitable. I mean, I have my siblings making money by just getting brands, you know, that want to use their platforms to promote them. And they get paid. Yeah,
sponsorship. Yeah,
sponsorship. Yes, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they might not make a lot of money, but they could, right? If they if we're actually serious about it. So that's one thing. The other thing is, I find that for me, I am looking always for what makes me happy and what. I'm not going to say loyalty, right? But I'm looking to build a relationship with a company and with a team, right? It's like you're trying to find a new family, right? So you're trying to see if you're going to fit in, if you're going to learn the skills that you're interested in, and if you're going to be happy, if there's going to be some sort of work-life balance.
Yep.
That's me. For other people, it might be different. Jen, why do you think that people, you know, in other generations tend to stay or used to stay for 20 plus years in one company?
Yeah.
What was the motivation for that?
I think there's a lot of things that goes into here. The biggest thing that I could think about right now is that feeling of job security and that ability to, with the job security that they had, they used to be able to afford, you know, having a family, buying a house, not renting. And they felt that their company was able to provide them that. So they felt like they had to be loyal to the company for being able, for enabling them to live the lifestyle that they wanted when they were younger, or continuing to have the lifestyle that they had. And most people who are older already have those houses. They already have, like, you know, these places and lifestyles that have been built already. And so even if, like, the cost of living has increased, they don't feel as compelled to leave. And also if they do end up staying at a company for like 5+ years, you tend to feel more stuck in that company just because you become kind of like, in a way, two things: complacent with what things are at the moment. And another thing is you become so in tune with the way a company works and operate that when you do start looking for different jobs and opportunities and you read the job recs, it's a little bit scary because sometimes the skills that you had, you feel that they don't translate to other companies because companies have such different values. And so if you stay at one place for a long period of time, it is definitely harder to transition to a different way of thinking. Whereas, you know, for younger generations, if we do change like a little bit more often, like every 2 to 3 years, we gain those different company values, and we are able to change them really rapidly. I'm not like saying that if you are older and you stay there longer, it is like you can't change and be flexible, but you could definitely, as a younger person that's been working with some people who's been in the same company for a long time, it's really hard to get them to change. And even if the company is trying to shift, it's like they believe in the change because they've always wanted a change. But then when you actually make the change, there's huge amount of resistance for progress and for efficiency because they're just so used to doing the things that they've been doing. And so that same mindset, if they do go to a new company, they're going to be like so shocked. It's going to be really hard for them. And I think there's that huge fear factor of how am I going to get used to this company process and this company values that are different from what I've known for like 8 to 20 years.
You know, I have talked to a lot of people in my previous companies that have been working at those companies for longer than 20 plus years. And I've asked them, like, what motivated you to stay here for this long?
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember two very good answers. One of them was, I mean, why not, right? I make good money. I feel appreciated. I like the work and is stable. So that was a very clear, you know, straightforward answer. And I loved it. And I was like, you know, you're happy. It fulfills you. It allows you to have the lifestyle you want, like you said, right? So that's good. So why would you change? And then the second one was a female engineer. She said something that really resonated with me. So basically what she explained to me was, I never left because I was able to not only grow professionally, but I was also able to be a mom and be home for my family. And the company supported me to do this. So, and I think that that's really important because you want to work for a company that values you as a person. And if you find that, if you build this relationship with a company, healthy relationship, and, you know, you're able to continue to grow as a professional, as an engineer, but also find that life-work balance that you're seeking, I think that's super valuable. However, there are other people my age, including myself, that we just wonder, oh, like, how can I stay at this company for 20 plus years? Do I feel the sense of commitment? Am I entirely happy? Or should I continue to pursue other opportunities and, you know, grow, learn other skills and see what's out there for me? And I think that either side is fine, honestly. If you want to stay at a company for a long time and you're happy and you're complacent and you feel stable, great. If you feel that you want to, just always be finding the next best thing, that's also okay, you know? But there are pros and cons to each side, obviously. So let's talk about the cons of hopping jobs too often. I'll let you go first, Jen.
The cons?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for me personally, the biggest con that I could see is that if you do it really rapidly, you don't learn a lot about the role. It takes like, realistically, even though I said it's been 2 months and I've gotten kind of the hang of it, I'm still such a, you know, newbie at a lot of these things, especially in the new role, the technical. It's really hard to say that you have like ownership of this knowledge and you could easily express it again. I know some people probably can kind of because these skills are very translatable. But then I strongly believe that it takes 8 to 1.5 years to feel very, very comfortable in a role where you could easily navigate through things. And if you kind of just switch jobs after a year or after 2 years, you barely got your feet into it. And then you're changing, you know, you don't actually have that time period to really expand on it and see how creative you can be within this new role and just make it become something that is not just like a role wreck, but it's your role. You know, what are you going to do with these knowledge? If you get a task, how are you going to make it more efficient? How are you going to improve it? How are you going to do all these things when you barely started understanding it? How are you going to, you know, and then if you don't understand or if you don't have the capacity and the ability to like make it even become bigger, then I feel like for me, that's not taking the full advantage of learning in that job. Like, you're definitely learning, but you're not taking the full advantage. You know, it's like you stop just shy of actually fully encompassing every, like, not everything, because there's always a lot of stuff, but encompassing like so much. And if you go to a new company and you do want to like move up the ladder, let's say, because usually, you know, the reason why we're switching jobs is because we want promotion. I feel like it would definitely be slightly harder for you to carry on those knowledge into the new role and actually like move up too. But that's just my opinion. That's my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
a year is not enough.
No, I agree. I think to add to what you said, it's not only that you're leaving the company a little too soon in terms of learning and growing as an individual, as a professional, but also you're not building relationships with your peers, your managers, right? And building relationships really just means building trust, right? Yeah. Demonstrating that you're capable of carrying out a task, completing a task, being efficient, and looking out for what's best, not only for you, but also for the company and your team. So like all of these different abilities and skills that you can, you know, show.
Yeah,
to those around you. But if you leave too soon, I just feel like you're just leaving too much on the table. You just didn't give yourself a chance or the company a chance.
Yeah. And connections go such a far way because you never know when you're going to come back to the same company. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who does job hopping and they end up in the same company, you know?
Yes.
Because they have connection and they realize that, you know, after I've grown and changed and gone through a lot of these things, I really did like the value and the way this company worked the most. And if you had connections there already, it's a lot easier. And trust with the company too. Like, let's say nobody you have worked with is there anymore. If there's some documents with your name on them and you're like, oh, I've been here before. And they, you know, people in the company, new company or new people in the company see your names on these papers and these documents are like, I know this person, even though I've never worked with you. It's like trust in the company and the people. So 100%, Mel.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And I just, the thing is, then when is a good time to switch jobs or find a new job? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? It also really depends in like the circumstances. Yeah. Like, let's say you don't like your manager and you tried to, you know, build a relationship with your manager, but it just didn't click. You didn't click with the culture of the company. Then, yeah, you know, it doesn't matter if it's been 6 months. Just leave. You don't want to be miserable, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with that too.
Let's say you're working on something that is very mindless. It's just not really exercising any of your skills. And you have been vocal about it. I mean, you kind of have to let people know. You just can't just leave. You know, you have to communicate how you're feeling and the concerns and what you want so the company can address it. But if you have been vocal about it, and nothing has happened, and you are no growing, you feel like you're stuck, then yes, I think that's a good indication that you need to go look for another job.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and this is, I guess, a good point that I should make. Let's say that you are working for a team and you didn't necessarily want to work for that team, not because you didn't like the team, but you don't like the job. But that's just your first jobs out of college. You know, that's the only one you could get. So you took it. And you said, well, you know, now that I'm in the company, hopefully I can move into the position that I really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes that doesn't work out. You work for this one team for a year and then you try to, you know, reach out to the other manager for the position that you actually wanted. And then they don't give it to you. So then you're kind of stuck again. So sometimes for people right out of college, they just take the best position they can find with the hopes that maybe if they don't love it, then they can move within the company to other roles. But then sometimes that doesn't work out. Maybe the role is not even available by the time you're ready to switch. So in that case, yes, finding another job makes sense.
Yeah.
Now,
so true.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
I was going to tell you, well, we were kind of talking about it earlier. People also, yeah. A lot of people, probably including ourselves, you try to find other opportunities, not for the skills only, but also because you want a pay raise. You think that your skill set is just more valuable than what you're being paid, right? So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, the truth is to get that big pay raise, you kind of have to go to another company. You have to go to another company. That's just how it works. Internally, within the company, mm-hmm. they will give you a promotion, right? But it's not going to be nearly as high. Now,
nope. It's probably going to be like 5% versus right. like 10 and 20%. Right, right.
But the thing is, when you switch to another company, you have to understand what comes with that, which is you have to learn all of these new processes. You have to adapt to a new culture, to a new company. You might have to learn new skills. It's never like a easy, smooth transition, right? So is the pay raise, does it justify the change and the effort that you're going to have to put in to go into another company? That's another thing that I'm always battling with.
I think it's worth it because I know people are just have a different mindset, but for me, it's a challenge, and challenge means growth. And not saying that, you know, like staying in the same company isn't challenging, because it is definitely challenging. But when you put yourself in a completely new environment, you're giving yourself the opportunity to really see, one, how much you have learned in your previous place, because you can see like, oh, did I actually know how to do stuff now? The imposter syndrome becomes less when you validate yourself that even if you switch, you're still able, you're capable of doing some of these tasks. And then two, there's a different team. And yes, it's really sad when you have to say goodbye to different teams, but kind of like what you said, I think growing is and living is all about expanding and meeting new people and getting that trust and connection from your team or your peers, your coworkers, your friends, strangers on the street. So it's like, it's a good thing to do. And then three, like that pay increase. Mel, we talked about this previously, but I think one of the, and I kind of talked about this, like why people are staying versus the younger generation is leaving often is, we were talking about like how the real wage, meaning like once you account for inflation, the cost of living and everything, has actually not increased that much, even though our salaries have definitely increased. Like when I was a kid, I thought making six figures means I could buy a house. Now that I'm actually, you know, breaking that six figure and I'm an adult, I can't even think about buying a house in the West Coast. It's ridiculously expensive. And it makes me really sad. You know, it's like, of course, we're going to find ways to get rewarded if our one of the basic livings goals that we have been raised upon can't even be met right. by this job. So it's like, and we were talking about like how two, if you're in a relationship, two grown person making six figures is like the, you know, like 100 to like 150 is still not enough to compete yeah. in this housing market.
Yeah, it's a fact.
And that's devastating. So it's like, is it, yeah, it's like, what the, you know, like, how can that be? And so it's like, yes, it's really fun. But then it's like, if we do want to have a house, then one of the only ways that we could do that is by increasing our wage, increasing our salary, and having side hustle. So there's going to be an increase in people having a side hustle plus working full time. And that's really tiring. There's a huge burnout rate across our generations as well, because we're just trying to do what we can to have a house, a nice house, as well as like live our life to what we want to. And sometimes it doesn't have to be super expensive, but it's like, realistically, like, I can't imagine myself, you know, being able to save up that much money unless I really minimize a lot of things. And because already rent and health costs already takes a lot. Like, I think rent probably takes generally, I think at this time and age, about like a third to a fourth of a monthly income. So then you're only taking home like two thirds to like three fourths. And then there's other stuff too that I'm like, I don't know if I should really talk about right now. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you know, it's like, theoretically, you could only save about like a fourth of your monthly income.
Sometimes even less.
Yeah, sometimes even less, because you're like, okay, I want to save for a house, but I also want to save for retirement. So then it's like split, and you're just like, it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And you're like, how mm-hmm. am I going to make this work? How? It's a hard conversation. So I, going back to the original, is it worth it? I definitely do think, like, if you are really thinking about it, like, if you're, again, if you're really comfortable and the job gives you what you need already, then that's fine. But if it's not, then that, I really do think it's worth taking that jump to see if a different company can provide you with yeah. things that you need.
That's true. That, what you just said about not being able to afford a house, that's concerning and kind of sad for me.
It is. Yes.
I think, I mean, I talked to a lot of my coworkers, and including you, Jen, and, you know, we said, yeah, we as engineers, we tend to make good money. It's a stable, great job. Nothing negative to say about that. But the reality is sometimes as an engineer, fresh out of college, you're going to start somewhere in the 60s or 70s. And that's going to be sometimes in California and Washington or very expensive states. Okay.
Yep. Can I give an example? Like, expensive as in rent could be up to 15 to 24,000 yes. a year.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. It could be even more than that too. This is just like a average 15 to 24, you know, depending on where you live, depending if you want to save up more. So you're living with a roommate, yeah. not a housemate, yeah. but a roommate.
And we kind of have to. I feel like yeah. nowadays you just need a roommate to make it work, to save.
Yeah, to save.
But moving away from housing and complaining about the market, which we can't control, and that's not what we do. We're engineers. Yeah. We just fix things. We don't deal with politics. Well, sometimes we do deal with politics. But that's another topic. Anyways,
yeah.
So, is it worth it to change jobs? I think what we're saying is yes, even with everything that comes with it, right? Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to be job hopping forever? I don't know, man. I feel like at some point you're gonna find a company that you probably really like, right? And you're probably gonna stay there for mm-hmm. a really long time until you retire. At least I would like to do that.
Yep.
I know my dream job does not exist, but I want to find a job that makes me at least 60 to 70% happy. And I want to stay there for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if you're still job hopping when you're old, that's a little, I feel like to me, that sounds lonely.
You think? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like, because like once you're, you know, once you get really old, people around you matters more.
Right.
And just having that connection is definitely really important. So I feel like once I'm old, I don't know, this is getting so philosophical, but once I'm old, I would want to have a community, like even if it's small, even at my workplace.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to feel very rewarded. I do now already, but then I feel like when I'm old, I want to feel like I had those, let me see. There was this article that had like a really good saying where it's like, we want to feel like we're part of something bigger, even in the company, you know? So when I'm older, theoretically, I would want to be able to be like, to say that I have done like a huge thing within this company. I have been part of a lot of things for like growth and improvements and success. And who knows, I might have like been able to build this X, Y, and Z. And if I have that in a company, like that strong imprint, I think I would want to retire in that company.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would like to have that. And also, I would like to be the point of contact for like really challenging questions. You know, like be that engineer.
Yeah.
You know that engineer that like, yeah, you have a question and people are like, oh, you need to go ask this person, yeah, right? I would love to be that person just one day, right? No, I'm not going to know everything, but at least be able to like know something really well inside out. Yes. So I think the only way, like we said previously, to get there is to just stay at a company long enough where you become an expert at something. So, and the only way to do this is if you stay.
You have to stay longer than.
Yes. Longer than a year, hopefully.
Longer than even three, I would say, to become an expert.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How do you feel?
You know what's an interesting point for the last point?
Mm-hmm.
With this new change, I was reading up some articles that the modern management culture is starting to shift. And I think we could definitely feel it, you know, with all these training about like work-life balance or culture and stuff like that. I think it's really interesting when you first get into a company, if it really is important to you, to evaluate their values and how their culture is. It's definitely really important to look into that. And the idea that previously in the older generation, there was the idea of we are, the company is valuable to us. We're not valuable to the company. You know, like there's that bigger, strong thing of the company is really valuable to our living.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's starting to switch to, no, we are valuable to you.
Right.
Because
right,
without workers, you can't get anywhere. And we are like dispensable, which means that they could easily fire us and hire new people. But at the end of the day, like they need us to get work done.
Well, and then training is so expensive.
It is. Yes.
Hiring people, it's just a hiring process, and then trying to onboard this person. All of that takes time and money and resources. It's kind of a waste if they just have people leaving. So they need to be able to retain employees.
Mm-hmm.
I like what you said, that management style has been shifting over the years from a more, I think one of my managers said it the best. He said, I think we're going from my manager is my boss and he only cares that I get my work done. Mm-hmm. So he can check a box. From that to, oh, my manager is someone who's my mentor, someone who is providing the opportunities that I need to be the best professional I can be.
Yes.
So that I don't only benefit myself, but also I benefit the company, right? Because the smarter, more capable you are, the better it is for the company. So I think that's a good change. All right, and that's all we had for this episode. If you liked it, please let us know. like, subscribe, and share. And if you ever want to join us for an episode, or if you have any comments or suggestions, please reach out via Instagram or our website, yxnodz.com. And lastly, we'll be having a few engineers join us for the next episodes. One of them is a civil engineer, and then the other one is a biomedical sales engineer. So make sure to stay tuned. Thank you. Till next time.